You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Thursday, 12 June. We've got local mining production data due 11:30 this morning. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, Gary Boyson, Rand Swiss, major CFD broker closing shop. How do you find a new one? Keith McLachlan from Element Investment Managers. Centova results and the acquisition. The results, a little soft, but I think there's some digging around that. Certainly a number of clients growing. Sokona Posweya from Standard Bank. Two structured products, China and gold miners. The show is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. MultiChoice reports headline loss as DSTV subscriber numbers dwindle. Loses 1.2 million broadcast subscribers in a year. A business day, Parliament adopts the fiscal framework. Adoption comes nearly 4 months after the first budget, but we are at least moving forward. Morning markets. The US was red. S&P down 0.25%. NASDAQ down 0.4%. Over in the East, also red. Sydney down 0.1%. Tokyo 0.7% lower. Hong Kong off 0.5%. And Tencent down 0.7% as well. Commodities mostly green. Gold futures 3,394. Brent 69.32. Platinum's a few dollars weaker, 1,252. And palladium green at 1,080. The rand is 1769, Bitcoin 108,000, and top 40 opening call 525 points to the red. That is almost 0.6% lower.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Telling now with Gary Boyson from Rand Swiss. Gary, appreciate the early morning. As I said in the intro there, we've got one of the largest CFD providers in South Africa shutting shop. It means peeps are looking for new CFD brokers. First place, I want to touch on the distinction between full service and discount brokers. A lot of folks are going to say, we don't really get your money, it's too expensive. What is that distinction between?
That's a great question. So, as you said, a lot of traders, I think, feeling a little bit dislocated. Yeah. Probably a lot of listeners to the show as well. It's definitely a big moment for the trading community. People that have had a relationship for more than a decade suddenly now almost having to make a choice on where to continue their trading. So there are a lot of options out there. And as you say, one of the distinctions that brokers make are between the discount platform and a full-service broker. And I think one of the myths around a full-service broker is that they're going to be more expensive. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's just not true. So that really is a myth. And it's because when it comes to trading, and specifically active trading, costs are absolutely what you've got to compete on. And where discount brokers differ is they essentially have one product offering. It might just be a CFD platform at least, which kind of brings you to Maslow's hammer. You know, when you only have one tool in the kit, everything starts to, when you only have a hammer, everything starts to look like a nail.
Yeah.
And it's definitely part of the conversations that we've been having with a lot of clients over the last week since this happened, is that in the full service world, you look at a client from a holistic point of view. So suddenly the reason for that CFD trading becomes a lot clearer. And it might be that a client is using a CFD to hedge something, but that could be better done by, let's say, using an option that might not have been available before, or they're looking specifically to enhance protection around an equity portfolio. And maybe the way to do that was actually through a structured product that you're going to be talking about later on your show. Yeah. And putting it in the context of a whole, that's really what a full service broker does. It looks at the client holistically, understands the client, and says, you're using the CFD platform to hedge currency exposure. Maybe you should have been using a forward instead. And it's not about just saying, we're going to chat to you more often and you're going to have this personal relationship, which is definitely part of it. But it's about being able to tailor the service correctly to the client's needs, which I think in the end does provide a better financial service.
I get your point there. And it's also, there's the other thing with CFDs, and I take your point specifically about CFDs are great, but not always the right product necessarily. It's also make sure that, you know, CFD is a counterparty risk. They don't trade on the JSE. I can set up Simon's super share service in some dodgy island we've never heard of. And people should be very worried about that. I mean, it does go back to some of it is just good old fashioned. You know, who is this broker? Because I mean, I get emails sometimes and folks find brokers that, I don't know how they find them sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. So the big thing when people are looking around, you know, it comes down to one, your costs, your spread, your margin. That's always going to be the first question from a trader because it's the most obvious. Yeah. Also, spread of products are important. You know, can you trade local top 40 CFD? Can you trade JSE equity CFDs, which a lot of the international brokers can't? And then, of course, what does the technology look like? Is there a mobile app? Is there a desktop app? Can you engage with markets in the way that you want to? But all of those, while that's what clients are asking, the most important thing is actually the trust. Can you trust the platform that you're putting your money into? And in South Africa, CFD regulation has become a lot more onerous than it was, let's say, 10 years ago. What you're looking for is not just an FSCA-regulated broker. So you can go to the FSCA website, plug in the FSP number, make sure that they're regulated in South Africa. That really should be your first step. Is there an FSCA number on the website? Do they have that FSP number? But a CFD broker has to go one step further. And it's potentially why a lot of the international brokers do eventually pull out of South Africa if you are looking for a longer-term partner. And it's because you have to also do ODP licensing, which is over-the-counter derivative provider licensing. And that ODP licensing is absolutely key if they're operating in South African markets. And then, as you say, these are non-fungible OTC instruments, over-the-counter instruments. So essentially, you need to know whose balance sheet you're trading against as well. That's critically important. And all of this should be available from your broker. It's actually easily testable if you go and ask those questions.
I think that's the key point. A couple of questions. Shiny websites are nice, but a couple of questions, and particularly FSCA and the ODP. I'd forgotten about that ODP, but that's a huge requirement for a CFD provider. Gary Boyson, Rand Swiss, we'll leave it there. Appreciate the early morning time. Give you money, smoother returns for Stanlib Asset Management. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Keith McLachlan, Element Investment Managers. Keith, appreciate the early morning time. Santova, a stock that you and I have probably been talking about for, probably more than a decade in various forms. Some results out recently, on the surface modest, but if you drill in, they are growing client growth. They are also coming off a massive base in the previous year. Your take on the numbers that you saw in Santova, because certainly a stock that you hold in portfolios.
Good morning, Simon. And I think we've been talking about Santova for about a decade. I mean, a quick Google search can probably check that. But at face value, year on year, relatively flat results. But the moment you drill into the detail and you look at H1 versus H2, H2 grew really, really well. H1 was down. H2, comparing against H2 last year was up really, really nicely to recover for a flat year. And that's very important, because don't forget, you don't just switch off a business and switch it on in the next financial year and it's got a different kind of cadence of trade. But H2 is the exit trade and the growth that's going into the current financial year. Mm. But all of that aside, you know, there's the Rand was stronger. And Santova does earn the majority of its revenue and bottom line is in hard currency. Rand was stronger, but it reports in rands as a South African company. So there's that headwind. There's global trade slowing down and worries about tariffs and all sorts of things. And in fact, the argument can be made in the long term that's good for Santova, but we can circle back around to that. The important thing and the fundamental part right in the center of Santova is that they gained 11 to 12% new clients. Now, although transactions through their system as a logistics provider was only up about 1%, that is clients trading less. That's a cyclical. Transactions will be cyclical. But winning new clients and growing at 11%, that's a significant number. And that's winning market share. And as clients trade more and things swing up, that has a huge leveraged effect on the bottom line. At face value, all right results. and in fact, you dig into the detail, really, really spectacular results and setting up for a really, really strong year, because we haven't even touched on the major acquisition.
Well, and let's go to that major acquisition. Because there certainly is tariffs out there and there's tariff wars, and that's going to create some volatility. That will settle down. I don't know how it will, but at some point it does. They did the Seaborne Group acquisition, what's it, £17 million pounds. The Centova does do from time to time little acquisitions that on the surface you think, it's small, but which, you know, a couple of years later you realize they were really clever deals. Is this another one of those?
So in my opinion, absolutely. One never knows until, you know, a couple years have passed, it's bedded down and et cetera. And there are some profit warranties here to earn out. But I mean, like, conceptually, what is Seaborne? Seaborne really is UK, European-based logistics. They've got fulfillment centers, particularly and strategically in the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. And those fulfillment centers, I mean, the best way to explain it is with the growth of e-commerce, two parts of logistics are becoming very important. First one are small, the ability to handle small packages. And second of all is last mile logistics. And those two things go hand in hand with e-commerce. And this is very, very strong in terms of that with their fulfillment centers that really, really handle that. But all of that aside, and that adds to the capability of Centova. It adds to the critical mass in those regions. All of them are great, but if you have a look at the maths of the acquisition, it's really spectacular. So Centova, besides a little bit of debt they raised, mm-hmm. They've been growing their cash pile on their balance sheet for a while. Now, their cash pile is earning next to nothing, and they've dropped it all into this acquisition. And this acquisition, the moment you take low earning cash and you stick it on a 5x multiple, which is roughly what they're paying for this acquisition, there's about a 30% uplift to the pro forma profits after tax. So a significantly accretive acquisition from the bottom line. And that's pro forma. That's looking backwards. That's not looking forwards. And we do expect with the client growth, transaction growth, and with the bedding down of the acquisition, you know, it's synergies is a dirty word, but logically there is some ability to cross-sell, trade, integrate, cut out some costs, et cetera, et cetera. So absolutely hugely accretive looking forward. We should have a really, really spectacular year for Centova coming up.
A quick last question. A lot of folks will say, trade's also around GDP, and that's not unwrong, except there's part, I mean, you mentioned this is sort of that last mile, this is the online. I mean, it's more than just GDP where they're going to get growth. They're going to get it from just adding clients. They're going to get it from picking up more volume going through their books. There's a lot, you know, in a low GDP environment, they can still do very well.
One of the biggest markets and sectors in the world is global trade. Even if it's in contraction, Centova is an absolute rounding error in terms of it. They can double, triple, quadruple their client bases, not move the needle in global trade, and in fact be a trillion rand company. So, like, I mean, one of the great things to find out is a long tail compounding investments, or is that they're fast growing businesses in large addressable markets. And Centova can outgrow cycles just by gaining market share.
Actually, yeah, when you say that, their total addressable market, which is not a phrase I'm a big fan of, but in this case, their total addressable market is, it's trillions of dollars because it's global trade. We'll leave it there. Keith McLachlan, Element Investment Managers, appreciate the early morning. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Is this little logistics stock in your portfolio? As Keith said, we've been talking about it for over a decade. It's had a really, really good run. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation beating returns. Let your money keep working with Stanlib Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Joining now with Zakhona Poswea, Standard Bank, two structured products coming out. Zakhona, appreciate the early morning. Let's touch on the MSCI China multiplier note first. Essentially, tracking the China A, the top 40 equal weight index. What are some of the T's and C's in terms of upside participation? And is there capital protection built into the product?
Good morning, Simon, and thank you so much for having me this morning, and good morning to your listeners as well. So, the China multiplier note has protection. The index that it actually references is the MSCI China Top 50 top 50 equal weight index, which provides exposure to the top 50 constituents of the MSCI China. And it provides 100% capital protection, which means the client's capital is protected and with a geared upside participation. So the participation on the upside is 125%, meaning if a client the client participates more than the actual index in terms of the upside while retaining the downside protection.
Okay, yeah, that's quite like, and something, and I don't know if I read this correctly when I was sort of going through the details yesterday, but on maturity, and it's a 3.5 year term, yep, 3.5 year term, the client will be delivered at the Satrix China ETFs on the JSE. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, that is correct. That's the index that's available for settling the ETF shares at maturity.
Okay, that's a nice look. So 125% participation, in other words, you get some gearing on the upside. You've got 100% capital protection if it is down over the period. What are minimum investment amounts and what is the closing date?
The minimum investment amounts is 25,000. So for all our products at this point, we've set the minimums to 25,000 rands. The China closes on the 11th of July. And it lists on the JSE on the 25th, which is 10 business days later, 25th of July.
The second one is the Standard Bank Gold Miners Auto Call. Here you're referencing the FANEC Gold Miners ETF. This is a US-listed ETF. This one a little bit different. Talk me through the predefined terms, and there is also a potential to call early after half a year. Talk through the product mechanics here.
Certainly. So the Gold Miners Auto Call is a 3-year product, which provides a return for the first 6 months of 6.5%. And if you accumulate to your own call after the 6 months, over 1 year, you get a 13% return. And this product provides exposure to, it actually tracks the NYSE Aka Gold Miners Index, which tracks the overall performance of companies involved in gold mining. And this product is gives you that callability function. So after the first 6 months, if the index is positive or flat, you can actually call your product. You'll get your 6.5% return, and then you can take your money and reinvest into a new product, or you can do whatever that you want to do with the money, or you can accumulate the you can accumulate that and move into the next observation dates. So it's got like 6 months observation dates where it provides investors with the callability function.
Oh, so is the callability on me, not on Standard Bank?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Where
okay.
The clients
can okay, be. So it's up to the client. So it's 6.5% semi-annual, and there is a potential to call it if I want. Here, capital is at risk if the index is down more than 30% over the period, if I understand.
That is correct, yes. So if the index is down more than 30%, then the capital will be at risk.
Another 25,000 rand minimum. What's the close date on this?
The Gold Miners closes sooner, so it closes on the 26th of June, and the listing on the JSE happens on the 10th of July.
How do we access these? I mean, if I'm a Standard Bank client, I imagine I can get it via the Standard Bank platform easy enough. For someone who's outside of the Standard Bank ecosystem, do they have access?
Yes, they do have access. So for the Standard Bank clients with online share trading, they access it via that platform. However, the non-Standard Bank clients can access the products. So we've actually listed our products on Fund Hub, where they can access them via that platform, get the application forms. And for clients with who have brokerage accounts with other entities, we are also able to give them access where we can settle with those brokerages. Even outside of Standard Bank, we can settle with those brokerages for clients that have those existing ones. We do also offer an online share trading account for free for clients who are interested in coming directly with us. So that's an option as well if they don't already have an existing account with us.
Okay, but they can just speak to their broker. They can make a plan. We've got the China yes. closing date there, 11 July. We've got the gold closing delayed date there is 26 June. As Zakona Pesweo, Standard Bank, appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. We were chatting with Kwesi Jackson yesterday. He, of course, from 10X Investment, talking about taking responsibility for your retirement, ensuring you have enough. Short answer is checking in, running the numbers, and making sure it is on track. We asked you if you are on top of your retirement planning. Almost half said yes, doing great. A quarter said no, you'll be working until you die. Ouch. A fifth said no, but you have a plan. And the rest of you are saying you're not quite sure where it is, and that's where you need to go and have a look and get those calculated. Up and running. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening. My guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Youth Barometer.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.